Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Scarecrow Walks at Midnight. I've been told again and again that the more intoxicated I am, the better the show is, but I have the feeling that this may be going too far, so bear with me on this. I spent all day with my girlfriend going to Home Goods and Home Depot and Pier 1 Imports and IKEA and decked out my little balcony at the condo I live in. So now I can hang out there and read books and drink all summer, and it's nice and relaxed. But I was drinking rum the entire goddamn time, and am continuing to drink rum, and it's now 8:30 at night, so we'll see how this goes. Oh, God, what's wrong with me? That being said, I know it's not wrong with this book. That was a bad transition. Chapter 14. Yeah. Grandpa, please, no! I shrieked as he lowered his straw arms toward me. He bared his teeth like an angry dog and let out a sharp, frightening howl. Or a growl. One or the other. Maybe it was an owl. Maybe something bowels. Ah, fuck it. The straw hands reached down for me. Grandpa Kurt's face was the same. The face I had always known, except that his eyes were so cold. So cold and dead. The straw hands brushed over my face as I climbed to my feet. I took a step back, raising my hands like a shield. Grandpa, what's wrong? What's happening? I whispered like a little bitch. My temples were pounding. My entire body shook. His cold eyes narrowed in fury as he reached for me again. No! I let out a long wail of terror. Then I turned and stumbled to the door, just like Dune stumbled up to the microphone to record this, which may have been a bad idea. His feet scraped over the bare floor as he lurched toward me. Glancing down, I saw the straw poking out from the cuffs of his pants. His feet, they were straw too. Grandpa Kurt! Grandpa Kurt! What is happening? Was that really my voice? So shrill and frightened. He swung an arm. The straw scratched my back as it swept over me. Wait, straw's not threatening at all. You can get hit with straw. Wait, don't they have those Japanese bats that they use that are just like straw wrapped together and you smack people and then becomes a big mark on their back? Wait, do I only know of different cultures because of Wild Boys? Let's move on. I grabbed for the doorknob, twisted it, bopped it, pulled it open, and cried out again as I collided with Grandma Miriam. Oh, help! Please help, Grandma Miriam! He's chasing me! I cried. Her expression didn't change. She stared back at me. In the dim light of the hallway, her face came into focus, and I saw that her eyes were painted on. And her eyes and her mouth. A big, round nose, too? Her entire face was painted on. Grandma was a juggalette. Whoop, whoop! You're not real! I cried, and then darkness swept over me as Grandpa Kurt's straw hands wrapped around my stupid face. Rum, rum, beautiful rum, you're so much better than whiskey, but you're not as popular. Chapter 15, yeah! I woke up coughing and choking, surrounded by darkness, heavy darkness. Oh no, I must have had sex with Bismarcky. Get it? Heavy darkness. Keep moving on. It took me a few seconds to realize that I'd been sleeping with the pillow over my face. Tossing it to the foot of the bed, I pulled myself up, breathing hard. My face was hot. My nightshirt stuck wetly to my back. Not like a wetback, because that would be racist. I glanced at the window, suddenly afraid that I'd see a dark figure climbing in. The curtains fluttered gently. The early morning sky was still gray. I heard the shrill cry of a rooster. A dream. It had all been a frightening nightmare. Probably not, listeners, huh? It's probably real. Because the book's, it's a Goosebumps book, so it's spooky, you know? It's inherently spooky because it's a Goosebumps book. Taking a deep breath and letting it out slowly, I lowered my feet to the floor. I stared at the gray morning light through the window. Just a dream, I assured myself. "Calm down, Jody. It was just a dream." I could hear someone moving around downstairs. Staggering over the dresser, I pulled out some fresh clothes. Fresh as in new, not as in, like, those are some fly-ass fashions. A pair of faded denim cutoffs. See, obviously not fly-ass fashions. A sleeveless blue t-shirt. My eyes were watery. Everything was a blur. My allergies were really bad this morning. Rubbing my eyes, I made my way to the window and peered out. A red ball of sun was just peeking over the broad apple tree. A heavy morning dew made the grass of the backyard sparkle like emeralds. The sea of cornstalks rose darkly behind the grass. The scarecrows stood stiffly over them, arms outstretched as if welcoming the morning, or like Jesus Christ on the cross, just getting stabbed by a Roman. The rooster crowed again. Kee-kee-kee! What a stupid nightmare, I thought. I shook myself as if trying to shake it from my memory. Then I ran a brush through my hair and hurried down to breakfast. Mark was just entering the kitchen as I came in. We found Grandma Miriam by herself at the table. A mug of tea steamed in front of her as she gazed out the window at the morning sunlight. She turned and smiled as we entered.
"Good morning. Sleep well?"
she said in a completely different voice. I was tempted to tell her about my scary nightmare, but instead I asked,
"Where's Grandpa Kurt?"
I stared at his empty chair. The newspaper lay unopened on the table. How would he know about Family Circus if it was unopened?
"They all went off early,"
Grandma Miriam replied. She stood up, walked to the cabinets, and brought a big box of wine. Or cornflakes, just kidding, to the table. She motioned for us to take our places.
"Pretty day,"
she said cheerfully.
"No pancakes?"
Mark blurted out. Grandma Miriam stopped halfway across the room.
"I've completely forgotten how to make them,"
she said, like a riri. She set two bowls down and made her way to the refrigerator to get milk.
"You kids want orange juice this morning? It's fresh squeezed,"
she said like Roxo the Clown. Grandma Miriam set the milk carton down beside the bowl. She smiled at me. Her eyes remained dull behind her square-rimmed glasses.
"I hope you two are enjoying your visit,"
she said, quietly, or not so quietly as Dune read it. "We would be if it weren't for fucking sticks," I blurted out. Her expression turned to surprise.
"Sticks?"
"He's trying to scare us again," I said. Grandma Miriam tisk-tisked. God, that must be horrible for the people listening. I don't know what I was trying to do with that sound, honestly. Oh, maybe I should stop this. I feel like I'm still literate, but I am drunk.
"You know sticks,"
she replied softly. She pushed at her red hair with both hands.
"What are you two planning for today?"
she asked brightly.
"It's a beautiful morning to go riding." "Before they left this morning, Grandpa Kurt had Stanley saddle up Betsy and Maggie in case you wanted to ride."
My air conditioning's broken, so I have my window and door open, so I'm sure neighbors are hearing me going like, "What?" "Sounds like fun," I told her. "What do you say, Mark, before it gets really hot out?" "I guess," Mark replied.
"You two always enjoy riding along the creek,"
Grandma Miriam said, putting the cornflakes the box of cereal away. I stared across the room at her, stared at her red curly hair, her pudgy arms, her whole George Costanza's mom-style look she had going on, her flowered house dress. "Are you okay, Grandma Miriam?" I asked. The words just tumbled out of my mouth. "Is everything okay here?" She didn't reply. Instead, she lowered her eyes, avoiding my gaze.
"Go have your ride,"
she said quietly.
"Don't worry about me."
Cocktail break, which I probably still shouldn't be having. Grandpa Kurt always called Betsy and Maggie the old gray mares. I guess because they were both old and they were both gray. Man, I feel like I got stupider reading that. They're old gray mares because they're old and gray, you fucking asshole, R.L. Stine. And they were as grumpy as can be when Mark and I climbed onto their saddles and started to urge them from the barn. They were the perfect horses for us city kids. The only time we ever got to ride horses was during our summers at the farm, so we were not exactly the most skillful riders in the world. Bumping along on these two old nags was just our speed, and even as slow as we were moving, I dug my knees into Betsy's side and held on to the saddle because it was like a vibrator. We followed the dirt path past the cornfields towards the woods. The sun was still climbing a hazy yellow sky that looked like a urinal cake, but the air was already hot and sticky, icky, icky. Ooh, ooh. Flies buzzed around me because I stank as I bounced on top of Betsy. I removed one hand from the saddle to brush a big one off Betsy's back. Several scarecrows stared back at us as Mark and I rode past. Wow, that big banging sound was the sound of my cat climbing the screen door and just jumping up on it like a crashed-up test dummy that splattered. The black eyes glared at us from under their floppy hats. Mark and I didn't say a word. We were keeping to our promise of not talking about scarecrows. I turned my eyes to the woods and tossed the reins, urging Betsy to move a little faster. She ignored me, of course, and kept clopping along over the path at her slow, steady pace. You need to keep feeding him carrots. I learned that from the Ocarina of Time. Scarlet. Ah, the cat's stuck. Hold up one second.
Come here.
Cat, dude. I got a RiriPod cat that has way too many toes, and she jumps up on things and gets stuck because she has like 15 toes on each paw, and they all dig into it and grab on. She's stupid. I wonder if these horses can still keep up to Chua. Come on, dude. Let's do this. I wonder if these horses can still get up to a trot, Mark called. He was a few paces behind me on the narrow dirt path. Let's give it a try, I called back, grabbing the reins tighter. I dug my sneaker heels into Betsy's side. Go, girl, go, I cried like a Spice Girl, slapping her gently with the reins. Whoa! I let out a startled cry as the old horse obediently began to trot. I really didn't think she'd cooperate. All right! Cool! I heard Mark shout behind me. Their hooves clopped loudly on the path as the two horses began to pick up speed. I was bouncing hard over the saddle, holding on tightly off balance, beginning to wonder if this was such a hot idea. I didn't have a chance to cry out when the dark figure hurtled across the path. It all happened so fast. Betsy was trotting rapidly. I was bouncing on the saddle, bouncing so hard I almost came. My feet slipped out of the stirrups. The dark figure leaped out in front of us. Betsy let out a shrill, startled whiny and reared back. Winnie? W-H-I-N-N-Y? What horse word is that? Do I have any equestrian listeners? And reared back. As I started to fall, I saw immediately what had jumped out on the path. It was a grinning scarecrow. I hope I got all the horse terminology somewhat right. All my knowledge of horses comes from the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, How the West Was Really Fun. So, I don't know very much. Chapter number 16, yeah. Betsy rose up with a high whinny. Or whiny. I think whinny. Winnie Cooper. My hand grabbed for the reins, but they slipped from my grasp. The sky appeared to roll over me, then tilt away. I slid backwards, out of the saddle, off the horse, my feet thrashing wildly for the stirrups, Christopher wreathing the fuck out of myself. The sky tilted even more. I hit the ground hard on my back and never played Superman again. I remember only the shock of stopping so abruptly, the surprise at how hard the ground felt, how so much pain shot through my body so quickly. The sky turned bright red, a glowing scarlet.
Hi, Scarlet.
She can see me, but she's pissed. Like an explosion. And then the scarlet faded to deep, deep, endlessly deep black. This is the old triple butthole break where it's just three asterisks. Oh, God, I'm drunk. Okay. I heard low moans before I opened my eyes, like when you're in Minecraft and you go somewhere and there's zombies in the caves, but you're not actually broken through there directly, but you can hear them. I recognize the voice, Mark's voice. My eyes still shut. I open my mouth to call to him. My lips moved, but no sound came out, like a mute. Ugh. Another low groan from him, not far from me. Mark? I managed to choke out. My back ached, my shoulder hurt, my head throbbed. Those are all synonyms for pain. Everything hurt. My wrist, I think I broke it, Mark said, his voice shrill and frightened. You fell too? I asked. Yeah, I fell too, he groaned. I opened my eyes. Finally, I opened my eyes. I saw the hazy sky, all a blur. Everything was a watery blur. I stared at the sky, trying to get it in focus, and then saw a hand in front of the sky. A hand lowered itself toward me, a bony hand stretched out from a heavy black coat. Oh, maybe it's a Grim Reaper. The hand of a scarecrow, I realized, staring up helplessly at it. The hand of a scarecrow coming down to grab me. Does every chapter have to end with the scarecrow reference? I'm sick of scarecrows in the scarecrow book, God Scarecrow, damn it. Chapter number 17. The hand grabbed my shoulder, too terrified to cry out, too dazed to think clearly. My eyes followed the dark coat sleeve up to the shoulder, up to my ugly fucking face. A blur. All a frightening blur. And then the face came fucking clear and shit. Then I realized the face that I was looking at with my eyes. I could see the face. I understood what the face was at this point. Stanley, I cried. He leaned over me, his red ears glowing, his face tight with worry. He gently grabbed my shoulder. Jody, are you all right? Stanley, it's you, I exclaimed happily. I sat up. I think I'm okay. I don't know, everything hurts. What a bad fall, Stanley said softly, like Yulhauser. I was in the field and I saw it. I saw the scarecrow. His voice trailed off. I followed his frightened gaze up ahead of me on the dirt path. The scarecrow lay face down across the path. I saw it jump out, Stanley uttered in a different voice from the last episode, with a shudder that shook his whole body. My wrist, Mark moaned from nearby. I turned as Stanley hurried over to him. Mark was sitting in the grass at the side of the path, holding his wrist. Look, it's starting to swell up, he groaned. Oh, that's bad. That's bad, Stanley said, shaking his head. Maybe it's just a sprain, I suggested with no medical background when I should have shut my stupid fucking mouth. Yeah, Stanley agreed quickly. We'd better get you to the house and put ice on it. Can you get back up on Maggie? I'll ride behind you. Wink. Where's my horse? I asked, searching both ways along the path. I climbed unsteadily to my feet. She galloped back to the barn, Stanley replied, pointing to her. Maybe you should play her song. Boo! Boo! Faster, fastest I've seen her go in years. He glanced down at the scarecrow and shuddered again. I took a few steps, stretching my arms and back. I'm okay, I told him. Take Mark on the horse. I'll walk back. Stanley eagerly started to help Mark to his feet. I could see that Stanley wanted to get away from here, away from the scarecrow, as fast as possible. I watched as they rode off down the path toward the house. Stanley sat behind Mark in the saddle, holding the reins, keeping Maggie at a slow, gentle pace. Mark held his wrist against his chest and leaned back against Stanley passionately. I stretched my arms over my head again, trying to stretch the soreness from my back. My head ached, but other than that, I didn't feel bad. Guess I'm lucky, I murmured out loud. I took a long glance at the scarecrow, sprawled face down across the path. Cautiously, I walked over to it. I poked its side with the toe of my sneaker. The straw beneath the coat crinkled. I poked it harder, pushed my sneaker hard into the scarecrow's middle. I don't know what I expected to happen. Did I think the scarecrow would cry out, try to squirm away? With an angry cry, I kicked the scarecrow hard. I kicked it again. The burlap bag bounced on the path. The scarecrow's ghastly painted grin didn't move. It's just a scarecrow, I told myself, giving it one last kick that sent straw falling out from the jacket front. Just a scarecrow that sticks tossed into the path. Mark and I couldn't have been killed, I told myself. We're lucky we weren't. Sticks. It had to be sticks, but why? This wasn't a joke. Why was sticks trying to, italics, hurt us? Question mark. This may be the worst episode ever. Chapter 18, yeah. Stanley and Sticks weren't at lunch. Grandpa Kurt said they had to go into town for supplies. Mark's wrist was only sprained. Grandma Miriam put an ice bag on it, and the swelling went right down. But Mark was groaning and complaining. He was really making the most of it. Wait, did the hillbillies diagnose it as sprained rather than a proper doctor? Because I don't think that works that way.
Guess I'll have to lie on the couch and watch TV for a week or so,
he moaned, excited about the prospect that Lisa Turtle would finally say yes to a date with Screech. Grandma Miriam served ham sandwich and homemade coleslaw. Mark and I gobbled down our lunches. All that excitement had made us really hungry. As we ate, I decided to tell Grandpa Kurt everything that had been happening. I couldn't hold it any longer. I told him about how Sticks was making the scarecrows move at night, and how he was trying to frighten us, trying to make us think that the scarecrows were alive. I caught a glimpse of fear in Grandpa Kurt's blue eyes, but then he rubbed his white stubbled cheeks, and he got a faraway look in his face. Just like when I brought up Chinaman.
Sticks and his little jokes, he said finally, a smile spreading across his face. That boy sure likes his jokes.
He's not joking, I insisted. He's really trying to frighten us, Grandpa. We could have been killed this morning, Mark joined in. He had mayonnaise smeared on his cheek.
Any mayonnaise, am I right? it was a semen joke. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Fuck.
Sticks is a good boy,
Grandma Miriam muttered. She was smiling, too. She and Grandpa Kurt exchanged glances.
Sticks wouldn't really hurt you, Grandpa Kurt said softly. He just likes to have his fun.
Great fun, I muttered sarcastically, rolling my eyes. Yeah, great fun, Mark groaned originally. I almost broke my goddamn wrist, Gramps. Grandpa Kurt and Grandma Miriam just smiled back at us, their faces frozen like the painted scarecrow faces. After lunch, Mark slumped onto the couch, where he planned to spend the rest of the afternoon staring at the TV. He loved having an excuse not to go outdoors. Next two of us up top. I heard Stanley's truck pull up the drive. I decided to go find Sticks and tell him how fed up we were with his stupid scarecrow tricks. I didn't think his jokes were all in fun. I believed he was trying to frighten us or hurt us, and I wanted to know why. I didn't see Sticks or Stanley in the yard, so I made my way across the grass to the guest house where they lived. It was a warm, beautiful day. The sky was clear and bright. The air smelled fresh and sweet. But I couldn't enjoy the sunshine
All I could think about was letting Styx know how angry I was. I knocked on the guest house door. I took a deep breath and tossed my hair behind my shoulders, listening for signs of life inside. I tried to think of what I was going to say to Styx, but I was too goddamn angry to plan it. My heart started to pound. I realized I was breathing hard. I knocked on the door again, harder this time. Hear that? That was me simulating a door knock. God, I'm so fucking original. There was no one inside. I turned my gaze to the cornfields. The stalk stood stiffly. Without a T, just stiffly. Watched over by the motionless scarecrows. No sign of Styx. I turned to the barn, across the wide grass from the guest house. Maybe Styx is in there, I thought. I jogged to the barn. Two enormous cows hopped along the ground in front of the barn. Oh my god, what the fuck? Alright. If I keep fucking up, I'm gonna have to stop because this is getting outrageous. Two enormous cows hopped along the ground in front of the open barns. No, I'm not fucked up. The word he used for a cow. Wow! Alright, this is it. If I can finish this chapter, I will keep going. If not, I will just quit. That's what I'll do. You ready for this? Two enormous crows hopped along the ground in front of the open barn doors. They flapped their wings hard and scrambled out of my way. Hey, Styx! I shouted breathlessly as I stepped inside. No reply. The barn was dark. I waited for my eyes to adjust, like a pirate that moves the patch over from one eye to the other to see under the ship. Remembering my last creepy visit to the barn, I stepped reluctantly, my sneakers scraping over the straw on the floor. Styx, are you in here? I called, staring hard into the deep shadows. A rusted baling machine stood at one side of the straw bales. It might be baling, but that wasn't me fucking up. That's me being a city boy, you know? I'm just a city faggot in a cowboy hat. That was a reference to the Devil's Rejects. A wheelbarrow tilted against the wall. I hadn't noticed them before. Guess he isn't here, I said to myself out loud for no reason. I walked past the wheelbarrow. I saw something else I hadn't noticed before. A pile of old coats on the barn floor. Empty burlap bags were stacked beside them. Oh, that's a precursor to making scarecrows. I learned this on Breaking Bad. I picked one up. It had a frowning face painted on it in black. I dropped the bag back onto the pile. These must be Stanley's scarecrow supplies, I realized. How many more scarecrows did he plan to build? Then something in the corner caught my eye. I walked quickly over the straw. Then I bent down to examine what I saw. Torches. At least a dozen torches. That means 12. Stacked in the corner, hidden by the darkness. Next to them, I spotted a large bottle of kerosene. What on earth are these doing here? I asked myself. Suddenly, I heard a scraping sound. I saw shadows slide against shadows. And I realized that once again I was no longer alone. I jumped to my feet. Styx! I cried. You scared me. His face was half hidden in the darkness. His black hair fell over his forehead. He didn't smile. I warned you, he said menacingly. I think I got to the end of that. I'm going to try another one, you know? Just like the recovered people on the end of that side of alcoholism, I just take it one day at a time, one chapter at a time. But, you know, I don't give up. I'm still using, you know? So, you know, what's next? I'll tell you what's fucking next. Chapter 19. I'm going right into it. See that? I didn't even fucking take a break. God, I'm talented. 19. Feeling the fear rise to my throat, I stepped out of the corner and moved past him into the light from the doorway. I was looking for you, I stammered. Styx, why are you trying to scare Mark and me? I warned you, he said, lowering his voice to a whisper. I warned you to get away from here and to go back home.
Look, we are children. We clearly can't just make plans for ourselves. We were dropped off here. We took a plane, a train, and an automobile, and god damn it, we need to go and stay here. We can't just be like, hey, Mom, pick us up. That's not how it fucking works being a kid. God, don't you remember? Oh, wait, you don't remember because you don't know other kids because you grew up in bumfuck fucking nowhere, but we're from the city, god damn it, and that's why I have cool acid watch jeans and shit and a Walkman that's full of Marky Mark and Funky Bunch tapes, and I don't know that Marky Mark's going to be a successful actor in like 2 years when he's in Boogie Nights. What up? Long rant. But why? I demanded. What's your problem, Styx? What did we do to you? Why are you trying to scare us?
I'm not, Styx replied.
He glanced back nervously to the barn doors.
Huh?
I gaped at him. I'm not trying to scare you, really, he insisted.
Liar, I muttered angrily.
Angrily? Angrily, whatever. You must really think I'm a moron. I know you threw the scarecrow onto our path this morning. It had to be you, Styx.
I really don't know what you're talking about, he insisted coldly, but I'm warning you.
A sound of the doorway made him stop.
Hammer time.
We both saw Stanley step into the barn. He shielded his eyes with one hand as his eyes adjusted to the darkness.
Styx, are you in here? He called in a voice distinct from Styx's voice, but hard to keep up.
Styx's features tightened in sudden fear. He let out a low gasp.
I've got to go, Styx whispered tensely to me. He turned and started jogging towards Stanley.
Here I am, Dad, he called. Is the tractor ready?
I watched the two of them hurry from the barn. Styx didn't look back.
I stood in the darkness, my eyes on the empty doorway, thinking hard.
I know Styx was lying to me, I thought.
I know he made the scarecrows move at night. I know he dressed as a scarecrow to scare me in the woods and at the barn. And I know he tossed the scarecrow in front of the horses this morning.
I know he's trying to frighten Mark and me, but enough is goddamn enough, I decided.
Now, it's payback time. Now, it's time for Styx to be frightened. Really frightened.
Oh, God, this is like every 90s movie where it's just like, let's get payback. We're going to dress up in, like, Indians and throw weird colored paint on you. What movie am I talking about? Oh, God, this episode. fucking hey.
All right, should be able to focus a little better now, but still same night.
Chapter number 20.
I can't do this, Mark protested.
Occupy farm.
Of course you can, I assured him. This is going to be really cool.
But my wrist hurts again, my brother whined.
It just started hurting. I can't use it.
No problem, I told him. You won't have to use it.
You'll just have to use your tongue.
He started to protest some more, but then a smile spread across his face and his eyes lit up gleefully.
It's kind of a cool idea, he said, laughing.
Of course it's an awesome idea, I agreed.
I thought of it.
We were standing on the doorway to the barn. The white light from a full moon shone down on us. Owls hooted somewhere nearby.
Hooty-hoo!
It was a cool, clear night. The grass shimmered from a heavy dew. A soft wind made the trees whisper. The moonlight was so bright I could see every blade of grass. My hand was hanging down right then, and the cat rubbed against it, and it was really cute.
And then the dog attacked the cat, and now the cat's on the back of the chair I'm on, the office chair. All right, Mimi, we'll keep going.
After Grandpa Kurt and Grandma Miriam had gone to bed, I dragged Mark from the house. I put him across the yard to the barn.
Pulled him.
Wait
right here,
I said. Then I hurried into the barn to get what we needed.
Wait, are they cooking meth?
It was a little creepy in the dark of the barn at night. I heard a soft fluttering sound high in the rafters. Probably a bat. My sneakers were wet from the grass. I slid over the straw on the barn floor as if I was wearing Heelys. The bat swooped low over my head. I heard a high-pitched chittering up in the rafters. More bats! I grabbed one of the big old coats from the pile. Then I pulled up one of the burlap bag faces and slung it on top of the coat. Ignoring the fluttering wings swooping back and forth across the barn, I hurried outside to Mark. I explained my plan. My plan is to get our revenge on Sticks. Doesn't living in the guest house with his semi-retarded dad count as revenge enough? Let's get revenge on the girl in a wheelchair! Really? Just fucking leave her alone, for the love of Christ. It was actually a very simple plan. It smells like pot in here. What the fuck, neighbors? I don't like stoners. Just drunks and drug users like the old Dune. We dress up Mark like a scarecrow. He'd stand with the other scarecrows in the cornfield. It really smells like weed, what the fuck? I'd go to the guest house and get Sticks. I'd tell Sticks I saw something weird in the field. I'd pull Sticks out of the field. Mark would start to stagger toward him, and Sticks would be so freaked he'd have a cow. I wonder when the last time having a cow went into literature in a published form. It can't have been in the last decade. Why does it smell like weed? I fucking hate weed. A simple plan and a good one. Sticks deserves it, too. I pulled the burlap bag over Mark's head. The black painted eyes stared back at me. I reached down, picked up a handful of straw, and began stuffing it under the bag. Stop squirming, I told Mark. But the straw itches, he cried. You'll get used to it, I told him. I grabbed his shoulder. Stand still. Don't move. Why do I need straw? He whined. Mark, you have to look like all the other scarecrows, I told him. Otherwise, Sticks won't be fooled. I stuffed the burlap face with straw. Then I held up the old overcoat for Mark to put it on. I can't do this, he wailed like a little bitch. I'm going to itch to death. I can't breathe. You can breathe. Perfectly fine, I told him. I stuffed straw into the sleeves. I was careful to let clumps of straw hang from the cuffs, covering Mark's hands. Then I stuffed more straw into the jacket. You guys weren't expecting more straw, but it's fucking more straw. Will you stand still? I whispered angrily. This is a lot of hard work, you know. He grumbled in a low voice to himself as I continued to work. Just keep thinking how great it'll be when Stick sees you and thinks you're a scarecrow that's just coming to life, I said. I had straw stuck to my hands, straw all down the front of my sweatshirt and jeans. I sneezed once, twice. Not just twice, it just says once, twice. I'm definitely allergic to the stuff, but I didn't care. I wish my neighbor was allergic to marijuana because it smells like weed still, and I don't understand it. I don't think it's the old lady next door who's smoking weed. I don't care. I was so excited, I just couldn't wait to see Stick's terrified face, but I couldn't wait to pay him back for trying to frighten us all week. I need a hat, Mark said, like a bald person. He was standing stiffly, afraid to move under all the straw. I thought hard. There weren't any hats in the barn with the other scarecrow supplies. We'll just take one off a real scarecrow, I told Mark. Shit's about to get weird. I stepped back to see my handiwork. Mark looked pretty good, but he still needed more straw. I set to work, stuffing him, pegging him, making the old coat bulge. Now, don't forget to stand straight and stiff, with your arms straight out, I instructed. Do I have a choice? Mark complained. I can't move at all. I look like the little kid from A Christmas Story. Good, I said. I arranged the straw that stuck out of the sleeves, then stepped back. Okay, you're ready, I told him. How do I look? He asked. Like a short scarecrow, I told him. I'm too short, he replied, thinking he was a player. I'm not a big fan of too short. But there's a Too Short song called I'm a Player that I love because, first off, it's a good song, and second off, it's like Cliff's Notes for his entire career. Like, every song's about pimping and having sex with women and being really awesome, but I'm a Player just sums it up completely. Like, you don't have to listen to anything else. And that's why I think I'm a Player is the best Too Short song. The end. Don't worry, Mark, I said, grabbing his arm. I'm going to stick you up on a pole.
Huh?
I laughed. Gotcha, I muttered. I'm kidding. I started to lead him to the cornfields.
Think this is going to work? Mark asked, walking stiffly. Think we're really going to scare Sticks?
I nodded.
An evil grin spread over my face.
I think so, I told my brother. I think Styx is in for a terrifying surprise. Little did I know that we all were. Oh my goodness. Goosebumps. Damn it, I just opened Adobe Illustrator. It's going to take a while. I just walked to the upstairs screen door and saw that on the big screen TV across the way, my neighbors are watching Lord of the Rings. So I guess it's a tolerable excuse for being stoned off the old pots. And don't worry, I totally closed Adobe Illustrator down and done.
Chapter number 21.
I gripped Mark's arm with both hands and led him to the cornfields. The bright moon bathed us in white light. The tall cornstalks shivered in a light breeze. Mark looked so much like a scarecrow. It was scary. Because it's like a scarecrow, but it's good stuff. Tufts. Tufts of straw stuck out at his neck and the cuffs of his coat. The enormous old coat hung loosely over his shoulders and came down nearly to his knees. We stepped into the field. Our sneakers crunched over the dry ground as we edged through a narrow row. The cornstalks rose above our heads. The breeze made them lean over us, as if trying to close in on us. I let out a gasp as I heard a rustling sound along the ground. Footsteps? Mark and I both froze, and I listened. The tall stalks bent low as the wind picked up. They made an eerie creaking sound as they moved. The ripe corn sheaths bobbed heavily. Creak! Creak! God, my neighbors must think I'm insane. The stalks shifted back and forth. Then we heard the rustling again, a soft brushing sound, very nearby.
Ow, let go, Mark whispered. I suddenly realized that I was still gripping his arm, squeezing it tightly.
I let go,
and I listened. Do you hear it? I whispered to Mark. That brushing sound? Creak! Creak!
The cornstalks leaned over us, shifting in the wind. A twig cracked, so nearby I nearly jumped out of my skin. I held my breath. My heart was racing. Another soft rustling sound. I stared at the ground, trying to follow the sound. Oh. A large gray squirrel scampered across the row and disappeared between the stalks.
Fucking squirrels, you know, they're always doing squirrel shit. Are squirrels nocturnal or day walkers? What's the opposite of nocturnal?
I burst out laughing with no tea again, mostly from relief. Just a squirrel, I said. Do you believe it? Just a squirrel. Mark let out a long, relieved sigh from under the burlap bag.
Jody, can we get going?
He demanded impatiently. This thing itches like crazy. He raised both hands and tried to scratch his face through the bag, but I quickly tugged his arms down. Mark, stop! You'll mess up the straw.
But my face feels like 100 bugs are crawling all over it, he wailed while detoxing from heroin.
And I can't see. You didn't cut eye holes big enough.
Just follow me, I muttered,
and stop complaining. You want to scare Sticks, don't you?
Mark didn't reply, but he let me lead him deeper into the cornfield.
Suddenly, a black shadow fell over our path. I let out a sharp gasp before I realized it was the long shadow of a scarecrow.
How do you do? I said, reaching out, shaking its straw hand. May I borrow your hat? I reached up and pulled the brown floppy hat off the burlap head. Then I lowered it over Mark's burlap head and pulled it down tight.
Hey, Mark protested.
I don't want it to fall off, I told him.
I'm never going to stop itching, Mark whined. Can you scratch my back, please? My whole back is itching.
I gave the back of the old coat a few hard rubs.
Turn around. Stick it out. Even white boys gotta shout, I instructed him.
I gave him a final inspection. excellent. Sexcellent. He looked more like a scarecrow than the scarecrows ever did, somehow. Stand right here, I told him, moving him into a small clearing between two rows of cornstalks. Good. Now, when you hear me bringing sticks over, put your arms straight out. Don't move a muscle. There was no reason for me to put my arms straight out right now while reading, but I definitely did. I know, Mark grumbled. Think I don't know how to be a scarecrow? Just hurry, okay?
Okay, I told him.
I turned and made my way quickly along the shifting rows of cornstalks. Dry straw and leaves crackled beneath my sneakers. I was breathing hard by the time I reached the guest house. The doorway was dark, but an orange light glowed dimly behind the pulled shade of the window. I hesitated at the doorway and listened. Silence inside. How was anyone going to get sticks to come out alone without his stupid father? I don't want to frighten Stanley. He was really a nice man who would never think of playing mean jokes on Mark and me, and I knew how scared and upset he could get. I only wanted to frighten sticks to teach him a lesson, to teach him that piano lessons can be murder. Oh, sorry, that's a different book. To teach him he had no business getting on our case just because Mark and I were city kids. The wind fluttered through my hair. I could hear the cornstalks creaking behind me in the fields. I shivered. Taking a deep breath, I raised my fist to knock the door. But a sound behind me made me spin around. Hey! I choked out. Someone was moving across the grass, half running, half stumbling. My eyes were all watery. It was hard to see. Was it Mark? Yes! I recognized the floppy hat, the bulky dark overcoat falling down past his knees, like one of those weird kids that's really into anime, so they wear the anime coats, but then they go out in public, and it doesn't look right when it's not drawn on a page, but they still think they're cool, and they don't look like Trigun, and they're just fucking losers. What is he doing? I asked myself, watching him approach. Why did Doom just reference Trigun while calling someone a loser? Maybe he's a loser himself. I asked myself as well. I don't care for anime, really. I just like Miyazaki movies. Why is he following me? He's going to ruin the whole joke. He came closer. He raised a straw hand as if pointing at me. Mark, what's wrong? I cried in a loud whisper. He continued to gesture with his straw hand as he ran. Mark, get back in the field, I whispered. You're not supposed to follow me. You're going to ruin everything. Mark, what are you doing here? I motioned with both hands for him to go back to the cornfield. But he ignored me and kept coming, trailing straw as he ran. Mark, please go back. Go back, I pleaded. But he stepped up in front of me and grabbed my shoulders, and as I stared into the cold, painted black eyes, I realized to my horror that it wasn't Mark. Nobody reads Goosebumps like Doom Chapter 22. I cried out and tried to pull away like someone that's not good at the pull-out method, but the scarecrow held on to me tightly. Sticks, is that you? I cried in a trembling voice. No reply. I stared into the blank, painted eyes and realized there were no human eyes behind them. The straw hand scratched against my throat. I opened my mouth to scream, and the door to the guest house swung open. Sticks! I managed to choke out. Sticks stepped out into the small stoop. What on earth? He cried. He leaped off the stoop, grabbed the scarecrow by the coat shoulders, and heaved it to the ground. The scarecrow hit the ground without making a sound because it's made of straw and shit, and that's how scarecrows work. It lay sprawled on its back, staring up at us blankly. Who is that? I cried, rubbing my neck where the straw hands had scratched it. Sticks bent down and jerked away the burlap scarecrow head. Nothing underneath. Nothing but straw. It really is a scarecrow, I cried in horror, but it walked. I warned you, Stick said solemnly, staring down at the headless dark figure. I warned you, Jody. You mean it wasn't you? I demanded. It wasn't you trying to scare Mark and me? Sticks shook his head. He raised his dark eyes to mine. Dad brought the scarecrows to life, he said softly.
Last week, before you came, he used his book. He chanted some words, and they all came to life.
Oh, no, I murmured, raising my hands to my face.
We were all so frightened,
Styx continued, especially your grandparents. They begged Dad to recite the words and put the scarecrows back to sleep.
Did he?
I asked.
Yes,
Styx replied.
He put them back to sleep. But first, he insisted your grandparents make some promises. They had to promise not to laugh at him anymore. And they had to promise to do everything he wanted from now on.
God, that accent's offensive and terrible.
Styx took a deep breath. He stared toward the guesthouse window.
Haven't you noticed how different things are at the farm? Haven't you noticed how frightened your grandparents are?
I nodded solemnly. Of course I have.
They've been trying to keep Dad happy,
Styx continued.
They've been doing everything they can to keep him from getting upset or angry. Your grandmother fixes only his favorite food. Your grandfather stopped telling scary stories because Dad doesn't like them.
I shook my head.
They're that afraid of Stanley?
Then why are they so irresponsible to let their grandkids hear? What the fuck kind of shit is this? What?
They're afraid he'll read the chant in the book again and bring the scarecrows back to life.
Styx said. He swallowed hard.
There's only one problem,
he murmured.
What's that?
I asked.
Well, I haven't told Dad yet, but...
His voice trailed off.
But what? I demanded eagerly.
Some of the scarecrows are still alive,
Styx replied.
Some of them never went back to sleep.
Chapter 23.
We both let out short cries as the front door to the house swung open. Startled, I leaped away from the doorway. As the door pulled open and revealed a rectangle of orange light, Stanley stepped into the light. He held onto the door and peered out. His eyes showed surprise as they landed on Styx and me. But then, he goggled and uttered a choking sound. As he spotted the headless scarecrow on the ground, goggled.
Pulling up the old Google and searching the word goggled.
Past participant. Past participle.
Wow.
Past tense of goggle. Look with wide open eyes, typically in amazement or wonder.
Ah, you teach me something every day, R.L. Stine.
No, Stanley sputtered. He pointed a trembling finger at the scarecrow.
It walks. The scarecrow walks.
No, Dad! Styx cried, but Stanley didn't hear him. Stanley had already dived back into the house. Styx started after him, but Stanley reappeared in the doorway. As he stepped outside, I saw that he was carrying the big superstition book, a.k.a. the Bible.
The scarecrows walk,
Stanley screamed.
I must take charge. I must take charge of them all now.
His eyes were wild. His entire skinny body was trembling. He started toward the cornfields, totally crazy. Styx tried to calm him down.
No, Dad, Styx cried, desperately trying to get a hold of him and shit. I'm just ad-libbing there.
The scarecrow was dropped here. I dropped it, Dad. It didn't walk. It didn't walk. Stanley kept walking, taking long, rapid strides. He didn't seem to hear Styx.
I must take charge now,
Stanley declared.
I must be the leader. I must bring the others back to life and take control.
But this is actually getting kind of creepy for a Goosebumps book.
He turned and glanced at Styx, who was hurrying to catch up to him.
Stay back, Stanley shouted. Stay back until I read the chant. Then you can follow.
Dad, please listen to me, Styx cried. The scarecrows are all asleep. Don't wake them.
Stanley stopped a few yards from the edge of the cornfields. He turned to Styx and studied his face. You sure? You sure they're not out of my control? You sure they're not walking?
Styx nodded. Yeah, I'm sure, Dad. I'm really sure.
Stanley's face filled with confusion as per usual. He kept staring hard at Styx, as if not believing him.
I don't have to read the chant?
Stanley asked, confused, his eyes on the swaying cornstalks.
I don't have to take charge.
No, Dad, Styx replied softly. The scarecrows are all still. You can put the book away. The scarecrows are not moving.
Stanley sighed with relief. He lowered the book to his side.
None of them?
He asked warily.
None of them,
Styx replied smoothly. And that's when Mark, in full scarecrow costume, decided to come staggering out of the cornfield. Oh, my goodness. Mark, am I right?
Chapter 24.
Where have you been? Mark called. Stanley's eyes went wide. He opened his mouth in a high shriek of terror.
Dad, please,
Styx pleaded. Too late.
With Adam Carolla.
Stanley took off, heading into the cornfields, a big book raised high in front of him.
The scarecrows walk, they walk, he cried.
Mark tucked at the burlap bag face. I'm going to assume you meant tugged, but it says tucked. Mark tugged at the burlap bag face.
Did we blow it? He called.
Is the joke over? What's happening?
There was no time to answer him.
Styx turned to me, his features tight with fear.
We've got to stop Dad, he cried.
He started running toward the swaying cornstalks.
I haven't made a joke in a while, and I'm pointing out that I'm aware of that.
Stanley had already disappeared between the tall rows of corn. My allergies were really bad. I kept rubbing my eyes, trying to clear them. Maybe you should try clear eyes.
Wow.
But as I followed Styx, everything was a shimmering blur of grays and blacks.
How?
I cried out as I stumbled into a soft hole and fell. Mark, right behind me, nearly toppled over me. He reached down and helped pull me up. I landed hard on both knees, and they were throbbing with pain.
Which way did they go?
I asked breathlessly, searching the dark, swaying rows of creaking cornstalks.
I'm not sure,
Mark stammered. What's going on, Jody? Tell me.
Not now, I told him. We've got to stop Stanley. We have to.
Stanley's voice, high and excited, rose up from somewhere nearby. Mark and I both froze as we listened to the strange words he was chanting.
Mecha like I, mecha honey ho. Mecha like a high, mecha chani ho.
Pee-wee, what's your wish?
I don't know. If you like that salad so much, why don't you marry her?
That was a terrible Pee-wee. Is he reading something from that weird book? Mark demanded, referencing Dune and Goosebumps and breaking the fourth wall.
Without answering, I headed in the direction of Stanley's voice. It was easy to follow him. He was chanting the strange words at the top of his lungs.
Where's Styx? I wondered. Why hadn't Styx been able to stop his father? I pushed frantically through the tall stalks. I was moving blindly. My eyes watered over, brushing the stalks out of the way with both hands. In a small clearing, I found Stanley and Styx. They were standing in front of the two scarecrows on poles.
Stanley held the book up close to his face as he chanted, moving his fingers over the words.
I should start reading like that. My monitor would look like a greasy mess because I'm an Italian, and Italian people shouldn't touch things, and that's why I was hesitant to get a touchscreen phone at first, because I'm like, I'm a greasy wop, it'll ruin it.
Styx stood frozen, a blank expression on his face, a face of cold terror.
Had the words of the chanting somehow frozen him there like that? The scarecrows stood stiffly on their poles, their painted eyes staring lifelessly out from under their floppy black hats. Mark and I stepped into the clearing just as Stanley finished his chant. He slammed the big book shut and tucked it under one arm.
They're going to walk now,
Stanley cried excitedly.
They're going to come alive again.
Styx suddenly seemed to come back to life. He blinked several times as he shook his head hard, as if trying to clear it like an etch-a-sketch. We all stared at the two scarecrows.
They stared back at us, lifeless, unmoving.
The clouds floated away from the moon. The shadow over the cornfields rolled away. I stared into the eerie, pale light. A heavy silence descended over us. The only sound I could hear were Stanley's shallow breathing, tense gasps as he waited for his chant to work, for his scarecrows to come to life. I don't know how long we stood, none of us moving a muscle, watching the scarecrows. Watching. Watching.
Waiting. Commiserating.
It didn't work,
Stanley moaned finally. His voice came out sad and low.
I did something wrong. The chant. It didn't work.
A smile grew on Styx's face. He gazed at me. It didn't work, Styx exclaimed happily. And then I heard the scratch, scratch, scratch of dry straw. I saw the scarecrow's shoulders start to twitch. I saw their eyes light up and their heads lean forward. Scratch, scratch, fresh, scratch, scratch. The dry straw crinkled loudly as they both squirmed off their poles and lowered themselves silently to the ground.
Chapter number 25.
Go warn your grandparents, Styx cried. Hurry! Go tell them what my dad has done! Mark and I hesitated. We stared at the scarecrows as they stretched their arms and rolled their burlap bag heads, as if waking up after a long sleep. Jody, look! Mark choked out in a hushed whisper. He pointed out to the fields. I gasped in horror as I saw what Mark was staring at. All over the field, dark, coated scarecrows were stretching, squirming, lowering themselves from the poles. More than a dozen of them, possibly 13, silently coming to life. Run! Styx was screaming. Rum! Dune was screaming. Just kidding, I just switched to water at this moment, right before this chapter. Look at that. It's being responsible.
Go! Tell your grandparents!
Stanley stood frozen in place, gripping the book in both hands. He stared in amazement, shaking his head, enjoying his triumph. Styx's face was knotted with fear. He gave my shoulders a hard shove. Run! The scarecrows were rolling their heads back and forth, stretching out of their straw arms. The dry scratch of straw filled the night air. I forced myself to take my eyes off them. Mark and I turned and started running through the cornfields. We pushed the tall stalks away with both hands as we ran, like in the movie Signs. We ducked our heads low, running in terrified silence. We ran across the grass, past the guest house, past the dark, silent barn. The farmhouse loomed darkly ahead of us. The windows were dark. A dim porch light sent a circle of yellow light over the back porch that would be very attractive if I were a moth. Hey! Mark shouted, pointing. Grandpa Kurt and Grandma Miriam must have heard our shouts back in the cornfields. They were waiting for us in the backyard. They looked frail and frightened. Grandma Miriam had pulled a flannel bathrobe over her nightdress. She had a scarf tighter over her short red hair. Grandpa Kurt had pulled his overalls over his pajamas. He leaned heavily on his cane, shaking his head as Mark and I came running up.
This... Scarecrows!
I exclaimed breathlessly. Nice work, Dune. That was really portraying breathlessly well. Thanks, Dune. You're a good-looking dude. You have a problem with alcohol, Dune. I know, Dune.
They're walking! Mark cried. Stanley, he...
Did you get Stanley upset?
Grandpa Kurt asked, his eyes wide with fear.
Who got Stanley upset? He promised us he wouldn't do it again. He promised if we didn't upset him.
It was an accident, I told him. We didn't mean to, really. We worked so hard to keep Stanley happy,
Grandma Miriam said sadly. She chewed her lower lip.
So hard.
Oh, God, there's an ellipsis there, as if Grandma had to do way more work, wink, than Grandpa.
Sexual stuff.
I didn't think he'd do it,
Grandpa Kurt said, his eyes on the cornfields.
I thought we convinced him it was too dangerous.
Why are you dressed like that?
Grandma Miriam asked Mark. I was so frightened and upset I had completely forgotten that Mark was still dressed as a scarecrow.
Mark, did you dress like that to scare Stanley?
Grandma Miriam demanded in once again a different voice.
No, Mark cried. It was supposed to be a joke. Just a joke.
No, we were trying to scare Styx, I told them. But when Stanley saw Mark, he...
My voice trailed off as the dark figure stepped out of the cornfields. In the silvery moonlight, I saw Stanley and Styx. They were running hard, leaning forward as they ran. Stanley held the book in front of him, and his shoes slipped and slid over the wet grass. Behind them came the scarecrows. They were moving awkwardly, staggering, lurching silently forward. Their straw arms stretched straight forward as if reaching to grab Stanley and Styx. Their round black eyes glowed blankly in the moonlight. How does black glow? Am I right? Even black lights are like bluish purplish. I bet they're purple, but I'm colorblind. I can't tell the difference. I just went to Pier 1 Imports today with my girlfriend. I was like, how's this orange cushion? Damn it, I said, how's this red cushion? And she said, it's orange, and I felt like an idiot. Staggering, tumbling, falling, they came after Stanley and Styx. A dozen twisted figures in black coats and hats, leaving clumps of straw as they pulled themselves forward. Grandma Miriam grabbed my arm and squeezed it in terror. Her hand was as cold as ice. We watched Stanley fall, then scrambled to his feet. Styx helped pull him up. And the two of them continued to run toward us in terror. The silent scarecrows lurched and staggered closer, closer. Help us, please, Stanley called to us.
What can we do?
I heard Grandpa Kurt mutter sadly. This still may be the worst episode ever. I'm not gonna make it on the Pod God's top five. Another text from the girlfriend, short chapter, I'll get to it when I'm done, chapter 26. The four of us huddled close together, staring in helpless horror at the scarecrows, made their way, chasing Stanley and Styx across the moonlit lawn. Grandma Miriam held onto my arm. Grandpa Kurt leaned heavily, squeezing the handle of his cane. When I was like 13 or 14, I bought a cane on eBay. Like, I just got a PayPal account with a flask in it, thinking it was a good idea, and then I was like, wait, I'm a 13 or 14 year old. Not only should I not be, the point, I don't even know what I'm getting at. The point is, kids aren't cool. There's nothing they can do that are cool. Why would I possibly carry a cane? I can walk fine. Kids, stop trying to be cool, and everyone in the world take off your goddamn fedoras.
They won't obey me, Stanley screamed breathlessly. He stopped in front of us, holding the book in one hand. His chest was heaving up and down as he struggled to catch his breath. Despite the coolness and the night, sweat poured down his forehead. They won't obey me. They must obey me. The book says so, Stanley cried, frantically waving the book in the air. Styx stopped beside his father. He turned to watch the scarecrows approach.
What are you going to do? He asked his father. You have to do something.
They're alive. Stanley shrieked, alive!
What does the book say? Grandpa Kurt demanded.
I demand that there's less voices because, fuck, I'm getting confused.
They're alive. They're all alive! Stanley repeated, his eyes wild with fright.
Stanley, listen to me, Grandpa Kurt yelled.
He grabbed Stanley by the shoulders and spun around to face him.
Stanley, what does the book say to do? How do you get them in control?
Alive, Stanley murmured, his eyes rolling in his head. They're all alive.
Stanley, what does the book say to do?
Grandpa Kurt demanded once again.
I don't know, Stanley replied.
We turned back to the scarecrows. They were moving closer, spreading out, forming a line as they staggered toward us. Their arms reached forward menacingly, as if preparing to grab us, as if mummies from another Goosebumps book, as if zombies from a different Goosebumps book. Oh my God, I'm sick of reading Goosebumps. Clumps of straw fell from their sleeves. Straw spilled from their coats, but they continued to lurch forward toward us. Closer, closer. Further. Just kidding, it only says closer. The black painted eyes stared straight ahead. They leered at us with their ugly painted mouths.
Stop! Stanley screamed, raising the book high over his head. I command you to stop!
The scarecrows lurched slowly, steadily,
forward.
Stop! Stanley shrieked in a high, frightened voice. I brought you to life! You are mine, mine! I command you to stop!
The blank eyes stared straight at us. Their arms reached stiffly forward. The scarecrows pulled themselves closer, closer.
Stop! I said stop!
Stanley screeched. Mark edged closer to me. Behind his burlap mask, I could see his eyes, terrified eyes. Ignoring Stanley's frightened pleas, the scarecrows dragged themselves closer and closer. And then I did something that changed the whole night. I sneezed.
I guess we're going to find out why sneezing changes the whole night. Whatever, listeners. Let's just do this.
I'm really going to make it through this. I'm proud of myself, even though I still think this is definitely the worst episode. Chapter number 27. Mark was so startled by my sudden loud sneeze that he let out a short cry and jumped away from me. To my amazement, the scarecrows all stopped moving forward and jumped back too.
Whoa!
I cried.
What is going on here?
The scarecrows all seemed to have trained their painted eyes on Mark.
Mark, quick, raise your right hand, I cried. Mark gazed at me through the burlap bag. I could see confusion in his eyes,
but he obediently raised his right hand over his head, and all the scarecrows raised their right hands. Oh my god, I see a dance boogie marathon coming on.
Mark, they're imitating you! Mark, they're imitating you!
Grandma cried. Mark raised both hands in the air and waved them around like he just didn't care. The scarecrows copied him again. I heard the scratch of straw as they lifted both arms. Mark tilted his head to the left. The scarecrows tilted their heads. Can you guess which direction?
To the left, assholes. Obviously, it's the left. Mark dropped to his knees. The scarecrow sank in their straw.
Slaves to my brother's every move.
They think you're one of them,
Grandpa Kurt whispered.
They think you're their leader,
Stanley cried, staring wide-eyed at the scarecrows slumped on the ground.
But how do I make them go back to their poles?
Mark demanded excitedly.
How do I make them go back to being scarecrows?
Dad, find the right chant,
Styx yelled.
Find the right words, make them sleep again.
Stanley scratched his short dark hair.
I'm too scared,
he confessed sadly. Who the fuck does that? That was such like a cop-out writing move of just like, and he decided he was too scared to act. But luckily, guess what's gonna happen?
And then I had an idea.
Yeah, the fucking protagonist has an idea.
Mark, I whispered, leaning close to him.
Pull off your head.
Huh? He gazed at me through the burlap mask.
Pull off your scarecrow head, I urged him, still whispering.
But why?
Mark demanded. He waved his hands in the air. The scarecrows obediently waved their straw hands in the air, like the audience of a hip-hop concert, doing the hibbity-dibbity-hops. Everyone was staring at me, eager to hear my explanation. If you pull off your scarecrow head, I told Mark, then they will pull off their heads, and they'll die. Mark hesitated.
Huh? You think so?
It's worth a try, Grandpa Kurt urged.
Go ahead, Mark. Hurry,
Styx cried. Mark hesitated for a second. Then he stepped forward just inches from the dark-coated scarecrows.
Hurry,
Styx urged him. Mark gripped the top of the burlap bag with both hands.
I sure hope this works, he murmured.
Then he gave the bag a hard tug and pulled it the fuck off. Someone needs to suggest some good goosebumps to me, because I feel like, aside from this one, the last few episodes, I've been doing well. However, the books have just been terrible. And I feel like this one falls in that category. Or maybe I'm just so fucking sick of goosebumps.
That being said, how about chapter 28?
Chapter 28!
The scarecrows stopped moving. They stood still as statues as they watched Mark pull off his scarecrow head. Mark stared back at them, holding the burlap bag between his hands. His hair was matted wetly to his forehead, like that weird look everyone had in the late 90s and early 2000s, where hair was just gelled straight to the forehead. Who thought that was a good look? He was dripping with sweat. The scarecrows hesitated for a moment more. A long, silent moment. I held my breath. My heart was pounding. Then I let out a happy cry as the scarecrows all reached up with their straw hands and pulled off their heads. The dark hats and burlap heads fell silently to the grass.
Franklin, you all right?
Franklin was coughing and choking. He just drank his water too quick. It's cool. He's fine. None of us moved. We were waiting for the scarecrows to fall. Waiting for the headless scarecrows to collapse and fall. That was an unnecessary sentence, but they didn't go down. Much like black guys don't go down on their girlfriends, so I hear. Instead, they reached out their arms and moved stiffly, menacing forward. They're coming to get us, Stanley cried in a high, trembling voice. Mark, do something, I shouted, shoving him forward. Make them stand on one foot or hop up and down. Stop them. The headless figures dragged themselves toward us, arms outstretched. Mark stepped forward. He raised both hands over his head. The scarecrows didn't stop, didn't copy him. Hey, hands up, Mark shouted desperately. He waved his hands above his head. The scarecrows edged forward, silently, steadily. They're not doing it, Mark wailed. They're not following me.
You don't look like a scarecrow anymore, Grandma Miriam added. They don't think you're the leader.
Closer they came, staggering blindly closer. They formed a tight circle around us. A scarecrow brushed its straw hand against my cheek. Oh, God, what's that movie with Robert De Niro when he does that against Juliette Lewis and Cape Fear? That's creepy. I uttered a terrified cry. No! I reached for my throat. The dry straw scratched me, scratching my face. Scratching, scratching. That sentence used the word scratching four times. That was unnecessary. The headless scarecrow swarmed over Mark. He thrashed and kicked, but they were smothering him, forcing him to the ground. My grandparents cried out helplessly as the dark-coated figures surrounded them. Stanley let out a silent gasp. Sticks, help me! I shrieked as the straw hands wrapped around my neck. Sticks? Sticks? I glanced frantically around. Sticks, help me, please, where are you? Then I realized, to my horror, that Sticks was gone. Chiggity Iggity chapter number 29. Sticks! I let out a final muffled cry. The straw hands wrapped around my throat. The scarecrow rolled over me. My face was pressed into the dry straw of its chest. I tried to squirm free, but it held on, surrounded me, choking me. The straw smelled sour, decayed. I felt sick. A wave of nausea swept over me. Let go! Let go! I heard Stanley pleading, once in my voice and then once in his, once Dune realized that the word Stanley was coming up. The scarecrow was surprisingly strong. It wrapped its arms around me tightly, smothering me in disgusting straw. I made one last attempt to pull free. Struggling with all my might, I raised my head and saw two balls of fire. Orange streaks of light floating closer, and in the orange light I saw Styx's face, hard and determined. I gave another hard tug and tumbled backwards.
So she woke up, she went forward, she saw two balls, some streaks, something was going closer to her, she saw Styx looking hard and determined and gave it another tug.
Making sex jokes. Styx! I cried. He was carrying two blazing torches. The torches from the barn, I realized. I was saving these just in case, Styx called. The scarecrows seemed to sense danger. They let go of us, tried to scramble away, but Styx moved quickly. He swept the two torches, swinging them like baseball bats, or like those weird Polynesian guys. Is that their whole job? Do they just twirl fire for a living, or do they also work retail? Can you still have a job wearing grass skirts and swinging fire around? That doesn't seem like a solid career. A scarecrow caught fire, then another. Styx made another wide swing. The fire crackled, a streak of orange against the darkness. The dry straw burst into flames. The old coats burned quickly. quickly, the scarecrows twisted and writhed as the bright flames danced over them. They sank to their backs on the ground, burning. Burning so brightly, so silently, so fast. I took a step back, staring in horror and fascination. Grandpa Kurt had his arm around Grandma Miriam. They leaned close together, their faces reflecting the flickering flames. Stanley stood tensely, his eyes wide. He hugged the book tightly to his chest. He was murmuring to himself, but I couldn't make out the words. Mark and I stood beside Styx, who held a torch in each hand, watching with narrowed eyes as the scarecrows burned. In seconds, there was nothing left but clumps of dark ashes on the ground.
"It's over,"
Grandma Miriam murmured softly and annoyingly and gratefully and shit.
"Never again," I heard Stanley mutter.
I drank water on my cocktail break. The house was quiet the next afternoon. Mark was out on the screen porch, lying in a hammock. God, I want a hammock set up. I drunkenly bought a hammock when I was in Tijuana a couple months ago, and I still haven't set it up because I don't have trees or a yard. Probably shouldn't have purchased a hammock and then brought it across an international border. Lying in a hammock, reading a stack of commie books, Grandpa Kurt and Grandma Miriam had gone in for the afternoon nap. Styx had driven into town to pick up the mail. What was that horrifying beeping sound that my computer just made? Stanley sat at the kitchen table, reading his superstition book. His finger moved over the page as he muttered the words aloud in a low voice.
"Never again," he had repeated at lunch. "I've learned my lesson about this book. I'll never try to bring scarecrows to life again. I won't even read that part about scarecrows."
We were all glad to hear that. So now, on this lazy, peaceful afternoon, Stanley sat at the table, quietly reading some chapter in the big book. I sat alone on the couch in the living room, hearing Stanley's gentle murmurings from the kitchen, thinking about the night before. It felt good to have a quiet afternoon, to be alone, to think about what had happened. All alone, the only one in the room, the only one to hear Stanley's low mumbling as he read the book, the only one to see the gigantic stuffed brown bear blink its eyes, the only one to see the bear lick its lips, step off the fucking platform, snarl, and paw the air with its enormous claws. The only one to hear its stomach growl as it stared down at me. The only one to see the hungry look on its face as it magically came out of its long hibernation. "Stanley?" I called in a tiny high voice. "Stanley, what chapter have you been reading?" The end.
Well, I seriously think that was the worst episode. It was just me being off and intoxicated and whatnot, but I persevered and went through. That's good. The next book I'm reading, I bought on the old Amazon. It is a Fear Street book. It is the top rated Fear Street book from a list that Giovanni sent me, and I think I'm gonna get real adult with it and finally read a Fear Street, so it should probably be a little bit longer, and I think that they involve like getting loaded and finger blasting and stuff, so we can hope for that. Instead of me having to get drunk and then make random finger-blasting references, it'll actually be in there, in the text. So we'll see. I have the book of that. It'll be good. You know all the contact stuff. If not, listen to any other episode. Ah, I got this one done. Very proud of myself. That being said, stay spooky, bitches.